Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The sky at night is supposed to look a certain way, the way we're used to seeing it. And when it doesn't, it's a little unnerving. I'll never forget one night on a beach on the Indian Ocean in South Africa, looking up and seeing the stars were all wrong. I saw the Southern Cross up there, and I'd never seen that before. And I thought, this is not my sky. It was odd and strange, and it let me know that I was far, far from home. And there may be odd things in the sky all the time, but how often do we look up? And there is more evidence from outside the Bible that the Magi did indeed see something new in the sky than there is for the tradition of three kings. You read it when you get home. Matthew does not say three, and the Greek does not say kings. It says Magi. They were astrologers. They were foreigners. They were from Persia, and they made it their business to look up. And the sky showed something different. On communion plates used in the earliest church, we have found engraved a star. And Eusebius, a scholarly historian of the early 4th century, made a considerable study of the literature available to him and came to the conclusion that the star was new and a stranger among the usual lights of the heavens. A strange star, not one of the many known stars, but something new and fresh. And 10 years ago, Robert McKeever published a book called Star of Bethlehem, Star of the Messiah. And after 3 decades of research, he put this together, and he cites star records from ancient Chinese and Korean astronomers who independently noted an unusual something about the time of Christ's birth. He also discusses the paintings in the Roman catacombs, as well as coins minted with stars on them from various countries about the same time. You may research and interpret these facts as you wish, but indications of something unusual in the heavens about the time of Christ's birth can be found all over the world. Whether it's a comet, or alignment of planets, or a supernova, or a quasar flaring up is hard to say, but there was something different in the night skies in those days. So here I am, and it may be surprising to some of you, swallowing the star completely. And it may appear that I'm trashing the wise men. I'm not trashing them. But there's just more extra-biblical evidence for the star than for the tradition of three kings with the names Balthazar and Melchior and Caspar, I think. That's not in the scripture. The Bible doesn't say kings, doesn't say three, but it does say they looked up. And they saw something new, and they dropped what they were doing, and they gathered the best that they had, and they went looking for this new thing that God was doing in the world. Now, were they especially wise? Not by Jewish standards. Bishop Willimon once called the Magi your average horoscope-believing Gentiles. Their profession was condemned in Scripture, and they were defiled as outsiders, and yet their willingness to respond to what God was doing is impressive. And the fact that the priest and the learned of Israel missed it is worth noting. We're all looking for something. Some of us are looking down. The Magi were looking up. In the darkest of days, they were looking up in anticipation and discerned that God was doing a new thing in the world. For the past couple of days, 70-plus Main Street members and a few outsiders were working on 9 homes, painting and patching and fixing and plugging places where the heat got out and where the rain got in. We were in neighborhoods we don't usually go into. We were interacting with people on their turf that we might not otherwise speak to. We went to a far country. And maybe it was just me. But the time spent doing this work, it seemed brighter, it seemed special. Even in the rain and the gray, it seemed like there was a light around it. It was a time set apart. It was what they speak of in the New Testament as Kairos time. It was holy, special time. I think we were doing in a small way what the Magi did. We dropped what we were doing in normal life, and we went where God was leading. We took gifts and talents and supplies and our willingness to endure the cold and the wet. And we went into foreign neighborhoods, following God's leading. From week to week, I speak the gospel. You were in the past 2 days doing the gospel. Imperfectly, maybe. Haltingly, maybe. Not fully comprehending the importance of what you did always. But you were doing the gospel. And now we've come to worship on this first Sunday of the new year like the wise men of old. We have come to pay true homage to our King of Kings. But like these astrologers of old, we come as gift-bearing people. And our greatest gift to the world in this new year or any other year is the gift of ourselves. Ourselves connecting out with others. And this is the homage we pay Him, to love one another as He has loved us. And I know it cost. It cost to love anyone. It cost to follow God. Love is for us a far country. Compassion is not our native language. Selfishness is safer, and alone carries no risk. But to follow the star and to see what God is doing always and forever involves looking up and traveling out beyond yourself. The Magi were proven wise by their actions, not by their memorized answers. Actions like seeing and seeking and finding and worshiping and listening and obeying, they're all keys to understanding true wisdom. True wisdom changes the way you act, the way you live. True wisdom changes your priorities, not just your words and not just the songs you sing. It changes the way you live. And wisdom does not come just from Duke and Emory graduates in that order. No, I shouldn't have said that. But from our seminary graduates, it are people who preach in pulpits. The shock in this text is just how far outside the mainstream these Magi were. I know some of you are going to go home and you're going to look at your manger scenes and think very differently about the three kings, but they were not Jewish folks. They were not of the hierarchy or of the establishment of Israel. They were Gentiles who practiced the magic arts, astrologers, and they were especially condemned, folks who did these things in the Old Testament. And on the few other occasions where the Magi are mentioned in the New Testament, specifically Acts 8 and 13, they're painted in an extremely unfavorable light. But Matthew says these Magi were the very first to come and to worship Jesus as Savior of the world. The very first. And when we call them kings, we completely miss the point and the shock of how God can work through the most far out of outsiders. You know, Matthew is the most Jewish of the four Gospels. Matthew continually quotes the Old Testament to demonstrate that Jesus is the Messiah of Israel's hope. And yet Matthew opens his account of the very Jewish Messiah by noting that the insiders who had the Scriptures, those who were given all of God's promises, missed it. And these Gentiles, these far out outsiders who knew nothing of the Scripture, people who were of the wrong nation and the wrong religion, were the very first to come and worship the Messiah. I think this could be a warning to folks like us. We who sometimes seem to think that we have God in our back pockets, could we sometimes be wrong? Could it be that God still works in unexpected ways and through unexpected people? At the very least, I want you to notice the similarity in message between the shepherds of Luke and the Magi of Matthew. Both were outcast people, and both came first to Jesus before the established, before the learned, who didn't perceive that God was doing anything new. Both shepherds and Magi noticed signs in the stars and the learned, respectable folks apparently did not even bother to look up. There could be a message for you and me. God works through unexpected people and unexpected ways and unexpected places. And this baby, this Messiah sent to save, is not our sole possession. Things in God's kingdom are never as neat as we would like them to be, and outsiders keep showing up, being used by God. People who look nothing like us are invited and actually show up for the heavenly banquet. In another parable, weird people keep hearing their name called just when we think we have it all nailed down and figured out. We insiders are shocked to find that we missed it. That those whom we have labeled outsiders may be more in touch with what God is doing than we are. And those who we consider strangers are just as welcome in God's kingdom as we are. These outsiders keep showing up. Bishop Williman wrote, "By putting these magi first, by putting these magi up front at the very beginning of the story of Jesus, Matthew wants to tell us something about the nature of Jesus. This baby, the Messiah sent to save, is not our sole possession, not our people's property. He is Lord of all. He is Savior of the world." And this is why we must go out beyond our comfort zones as we have been doing. And I feel good about it. If we don't, we may well miss what God is doing in the world just beyond these walls. God is not confined to these walls. God is there in your home, there in your business, there in your meetings, in your classroom, in your negotiations, there at your bank, there with your broker, although this year you may not believe it, there in the run-down neighborhoods that we worked in for two short holy days. And when visitors come here, and I mean this very, very literally and prayerfully, for God's sake, speak to them, welcome them, and help them find the breakfast, the bathroom, a Sunday school classroom, the nursery, the sanctuary, and if need be, the food pantry and the coat closet. There are travelers among us who thought they saw God doing a new thing over here at Main Street, and they might just come to see. And when they get here, they need to find a welcome. The old historic point becomes very timely, doesn't it? The Magi were total outsiders. Like the Samaritan woman at the well, like the tax collectors and the women of the street, like the uneducated fishermen and such who became disciples. It is a recurring theme. The insiders are sometimes blind to God working in a new way, and the outsiders get it and come worship Him. Never, ever get too comfortable that you know what God is doing, or what God is capable of, or who God might do it through. God might do it next through you, or through the most unexpected person you meet. How open are we to allowing God to rearrange our schedules, our priorities, our lives? We must be open if we are to become wise. The Magi story answers the question, can God work through outsiders? The answer is yes. Insiders get complacent. Insiders quit looking for God to do new things. These outcasts, these wise guys from the wrong side of the religious track, responded to God. They trusted God. They listened to and dropped what they were doing to bring the best they had to God, a God they had not known before. And that is miraculous. Outcast saw God's light in the darkness, and with faith and trust and hope, they left home and comfort to follow a brand new star. Maybe we should look up. We insiders do tend to get complacent. We fail to believe that God has the power to do unexpected things. When we think that way, we cease to be the church. When we think God can't do new things in new ways in new places through new people, we cease to be the church. Then we're just another civic organization that helps establish us as upstanding citizens. We become much more like the Pharisees and the priests and the scribes who had stopped looking up and stopped expecting anything new. And we do not want that to happen. And so consider. Instead, consider that every small thing we do could be a bit of God's kingdom breaking in for someone. Look for possibilities. Believe it is possible. Here and out there and in the places we don't like to go, God is always up to something and always making things new. It is never just another mission project. It is perhaps the kingdom of God breaking in. It is never just a poor family with a bad roof. It is perhaps the kingdom of God breaking in. Don't miss it. It's never just another Bible study. It's words that challenge and change and heal. It's never just another worship service or just a visitation program or just another shut-in that I might get around to visiting one day. These are opportunities to be a part of what God is doing. God acts. The Word became flesh. Let us never turn God back into mere words again. Every time we think we know how and when and where God will act and sit down satisfied, God goes and does something completely and entirely unexpected. Don't ever think we have God in a box. Don't ever think you've got God on your side and figured out and tamed. Our God is not a tame God. God will act however God will act. And when God's people stop looking for God to act, God will find other people who are looking. Be God's people. Look up, expect, react, travel out to a far country, even if it's another neighborhood that is far for you. Invite in the stranger. Don't ever try to put God in a box. Instead, box yourself up as a gift and give yourself to God. You never know where you'll end up when you look up and give yourself to God. In that way, the wise men were wonderful examples. Maybe not kings, but wonderful examples. Amen.